Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson to talk all things Vegas Golden Knights. As always, this show's brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. And those passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans have been being treated well by their team lately. Since the last time we spoke, the Golden Knights take 2 out of 3. The last two actually at Dallas in overtime. And then last night at home against Vancouver, I didn't get to watch the game, but just looking at the, you know, the box score and the advanced box score and all that stuff, it looks like this is one of their finest performances of the year, Justin, the 6-3 win.
Yeah, they were really good. It was kind of a freak goal by Elias Pettersson early in the game was their first goal. A pretty good deflection for their second, and then kind of a garbage time one for their third. But the Golden Knights, they looked as good as they have, even despite allowing 3 goals. It's a little misleading. The game was very much out of hand by the time Vancouver got its third. And that second period was just dominant. They outshot them 20-5, outscored them 2-0. Vancouver wasn't even really, like, it was very over by the time the second period came to an end. And it's kind of what you want, particularly at home.
Yeah, I did something stupid and picked Vancouver in my season-long picks. It's just weird because I feel like all these games, I still think the Canucks are a little better, well, certainly than we expected, and maybe even a little better than their 500 record. It just seems like all these games they lose, they're like a lot of times have the 5-on-5 advantage. It seems like they've been kind of an unlucky team. And then I think it says a lot for the Golden Knights just to blow them out, and especially at home where the Golden Knights had kind of unexpectedly struggled this year, not been that great. Yeah. So that's our big topic today, is just getting back on track at home. They've won the last 2 home games by a combined 7 goals, dating back to that 5-1 win over the Blackhawks that I think we talked about last week.
No, that was part of this one.
All right, sorry. Yeah. It's 3. Well, we recorded, I think, the same day. So it's 3-1 since the last time we spoke.
Yep,
I should correct that. But either way, great things looking up at T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, finally. I mean, they were dominant at home the first 2 years. I mean, it was my game story last night. Check it out on LasVegasSun.com. But 53-22-7 in their first two seasons at T-Mobile Arena. I mean, it was starting to gain a reputation as a very tough place to play, with how loud it was, with how passionate the fans were, with how well the Golden Knights had played there. It was a place that you just kind of expected to lose if you were a visiting fan base, and nobody will ever say that, but. And then they won only 7 of their first 16 at home this season. So it was a very winnable place for the opposition. And now that they've won 2 in a row, and granted, it was against the Blackhawks and the Canucks, who are both out of playoff position right now. But it's kind of what you got to do against the teams that are below you in the standings, is beat them and beat them handedly.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know why, you know, there's just these certain moments that stick in your head, and I remember vividly talking about how good they were at home. If you've listened to any of our other podcasts on LasVegasSun.com, usually my role is just calling our boss / colleague, I guess, Ray Brewer, out on all his nonsense. But I remember going into the Western Conference Finals in that first playoffs, I had picked Winnipeg. I thought the Jets would beat them. Brewer just picked Vegas by a little bit because his reasoning was, just this team is not going to lose at home. It's impossible for them to lose at home in the playoffs. I think their only home playoff loss before the Stanley Cup was like that crazy double overtime game to San Jose. And I just remember being like, God, I'd love to yell at him for this, but it just, I don't think he's wrong. When that building's on, it just seems like the team's on another level. And if they can get back to that, they're going to be really, really dangerous here in the second half of the season.
And he was right through game 1 of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I think in his defense, it was just it was a Western Conference thing we were talking about, for sure. He didn't say they're winning the Stanley Cup. It was just like, man, I think when I was remember saying I thought Winnipeg was a lot better team. They have home ice advantage, and Ray was just kind of like, yeah, but they can steal a game there, and they're not losing at home. And I think he was kind of right.
Well, I guess in the Western Conference playoffs, I guess through that Winnipeg series, they were what, 6-1? I guess it would have been at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. I remember they lost the double overtime controversial game to the Sharks. Yeah. They won all the other ones, and they swept the Kings.
They won 2 out of 3. They would have won game 1 and 5 at home. Or
yeah, 1-5. So I guess that's only 4-1. But still, I got it.
But then 2 against Winnipeg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then 2. Yeah, 6-1. Yeah,
6-1. And so, and that's exactly what Jonathan Marchessault had alluded to last night. Like, I had asked him about how important it is to win at home, and he goes, you know, when it comes to the playoffs and home ice advantage, we really want to make this a hard place to play. So they're already thinking about that. And as we record this now, they are only 1 point out believe it or not, of the Pacific Division leads. So right now they're one win away from being able to have home ice advantage guaranteed through two rounds of the playoffs, and that's a big deal. So, I mean, last year they had to start on the road, and, you know, there were plenty of reasons that they didn't beat the Sharks, but if they would have had four of those seven games at home, would they have lost? I don't know. They only won one game up in San Jose, so I don't know. It's home ice advantage is obviously very important. Not breaking any ground here, but it's very important for the Golden Knights to regain that in the second half of the year. And the last two games are a nice step in that direction.
Yeah, and despite all the troubles they had, we've been up and down all year, as we've said on this podcast. They're right in position to do so. A big reason why they're in position to do so, and I'm kind of surprised we've gone this long without mentioning him. Last week, Max Pacioretty was arguably the best player in the NHL.
He was just announced, 22 hours ago as the NHL's first star of the week. He led the league in points, 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points in 4 games. Everything he touches is turning to gold right now.
Like, going back on some more memories, we've always been, I feel like we say we have a lot of favorite players on this podcast, but we've always been, I feel like, big Max Pacioretty guys. I feel like last year I was his biggest apologist. I thought it was kind of unfair that people were saying he had a disappointing season, maybe from a little bit, but he was hurt a lot of it. He still almost led the team in goals, so I was high on him.
Didn't you have a ticket for Pacioretty to lead the team?
That's how I know. It came to an agonizing close. It was so close. I think it came down to the last week. I wasn't negative on him coming into this year, but you were especially high on him coming into this year. I think you picked him to lead the team in scoring. I remember when we did the Player Per Day podcast, you were all about Pacioretty. So no big surprise to us. I think we both knew he had this in him. No, I just hope this kind of flips the fan base.
I guess. I mean, I feel like people were down on him because based on the production last year, I kind of get it. I mean, he was billed as this star player coming over. This was the captain of the Montreal Canadiens who had multiple 30-plus goal seasons. He was a 60-point scorer. This is going to be the guy that kind of takes him to a next level. And he got off to a really slow start. And first impressions are kind of hard to shake a little bit. And he got hot, but he only finished last year with 22 goals. And it was mildly disappointing, though it wasn't as bad as people thought. Like, he still had 22 goals in a down season for him. And then I wrote a lot this offseason about just he's going to bounce back. He's going to be good. There was a lot, his shooting percentage numbers, power play numbers, so much was indicated that he was due for a bounce back. And sure enough, it's very much happening. He currently leads the team outright in goals with 15, assists with 19, points with 34. He is on pace for 77 points, which would shatter his career high. He's never been a 70-point scorer in the NHL before. And I think one thing that doesn't get talked about enough is that when he was traded last year, it was right before training camp started. He had heard the rumors all offseason. He spent the summer not knowing where he was going to play. He needed to up and move to Vegas and had, you know, only a couple weeks before the season started. And then he got off to a slow start, and then he was able to spend, he had the contract extension, he was able to spend all of his summer here, and it's clearly paying off for him. He's having a tremendous year. He is, he's been very good.
Right, as you said, leading the team in goals and points. It was a nice run for Riley Smith at the top. I don't think he's getting back there.
I don't think so. And just one more thing on Pacioretty. He leads the team, according to Evolving Well Hockey's advanced stats model, with where did he go? I just had him. There it is. 9.6, 9.7 goals above replacement, 1.7 wins above replacement this year. That ranks 17th in the entire league. So he is in kind of that top percentile of forwards in the NHL this season. It's not just that he's playing well as a Golden Knight, he's one of the better forwards in the league this year.
Yeah, and I think it should be said that, I mean, he's lifting at least, and I haven't seen them every single day like you, but when I watch them, it seems like he's lifting the play of guys around him. I feel like it was a fair characterization, but I feel like last year when Mark Stone arrived, it was just like, wow, he's brought the best out of Pacioretty and Stasny. These guys have really elevated their play just because of him. Well, sometimes it works the other way, too. When Pacioretty's now on a hot streak, it just feels like, he's kind of bringing everyone together as well, passing well. I mean, 19 assists. I don't know. I mean, I think you can just lavish the guy with praise as much as you want. He's doing everything right.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, Gerard Glantz mentioned a couple of times how he likes to think of his forwards in pairs, not trios. He likes to find two guys that kind of work together. You see that with William Karlsson and Riley Smith. He really likes having them together. Ryan Reeves and William Carrier really likes having them together. Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone are another one. They've kind of cycled through their centers. It started with Cody Glass. Paul Stastny's kind of been the main guy, kind of the default setting. But Chandler Stephenson's doing it right now and playing well, bringing his speed to that line. So Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty are, you know, maybe the best pair on the team. Maybe you like William Karlsson and Riley Smith. Whatever it is, the fact that Pacioretty's going right now, and like you said, I think he's kind of bringing the rest of the team with him right now.
Yeah, so we'll see if that can continue in a couple games this week. We're going to break down those two here in a second. But first, as we always like to do on the podcast, our Escaping the Fortress section, where we look at kind of the rest of the NHL, what's going on, bite off one topic and kind of talk about that. And I think it's was pretty obvious we were both thinking the same way today. Maybe the trade market is about to heat up in the NHL. You've been hearing some rumblings, and those rumblings turned into a straight explosion. I feel like what everyone's talking about right now is all the trade rumors with Taylor Hall, the Devil's star, and linked to a lot of Western Conference teams. So I'm just trying to figure out what this all means for the Golden Knights, because it could change things, especially if he lands on one of these Pacific Division rivals.
Yeah, and I think so. They've mentioned kind of a couple of reports have Arizona as the front runner, and I think that would be really interesting, because right now the top of the Pacific Division is Arizona number one and Vegas number two. So there are three games left this season with the Coyotes, so the Golden Knights certainly don't want to have to play Taylor Hall three more times this year. But that would definitely boost their chances of winning the division. The Golden Knights right now are right behind them, but you add a star player like that, I mean, it's just, the Golden Knights aren't going to add a player like that this year. They don't have the cap space. I don't think that there's another star player like him that's going to be available, and Taylor Hall doesn't make sense for Vegas. So watching him go to a division rival is probably the last thing the Golden Knights want, regardless of whether or not Coyotes could work out an extension or anything like that. It would make them very formidable for this year in a fight for, like we had mentioned, two rounds of home ice advantage.
Right, yeah. Right now, the Coyotes at 42 points, the Golden Knights at 41. And as of last week, they were co-favorites to win the Pacific, actually, much to my chagrin, as I like to do always on the podcast, complain about the missed bets. But I tried to bet the Coyotes at 8-1, and I was just
a
little bit
kicking yourself
too late.
All season
and it's
going
to come down to the end, too, I feel like. I feel like they're going to be right there, especially if they get Taylor Hall. I just feel like it would be such a good fit for them. I mean, the one spot, I feel like we've said this a lot, too, but they kind of still have a ways to go, is, you know, getting that top offensive guy. That their offense can stagnate a little bit. Defensively, they've been outstanding. It seems like they never give up any goals. Their goaltending has been incredible. If you add you know, a big time star skater, that team suddenly becomes I don't want to say they're not scary now, but I don't see them like winning the Stanley Cup now. I see them as like a Stanley Cup contender, at least getting there if they land a player like Hall.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they are one of the better, like you had mentioned, defensive teams in the league. They've allowed only 84 goals this year, which is the fourth best in the NHL, and the 13 better than the next best team in the Pacific. But goals for, they're only 97, which is slightly below middle of the pack. So they tried to address their scoring with Phil Kessel this offseason, and that hasn't really worked out for him. Kessel hasn't had a great season. They wanted him to kind of boost Clayton Keller, who has also not been terrific. So, you know, another scorer is probably exactly what they need. And if they could get him into their top line or their top six, however they want to line it up, I think you're right. I think it would make Arizona the favorites in the Pacific Division, in a division that I don't think has a clear-cut favorite right now. I think that I would probably agree with the odds there that it's going to be Arizona and Vegas kind of fighting it off for the rest of the season. Edmonton's starting to slip a little bit. But Taylor Hall, I think, would tilt the scales a little bit in Arizona's favor. And, you know, the winner of the Pacific obviously gets a wild card team as opposed to a division rival, though it could be, I guess, still be a division rival. But then let's say Arizona wins the Pacific, Vegas wins, is, you know, in that second spot. They both win in the first round. Arizona has home ice in that next series, where they are they've been pretty good at home this year. So Taylor Hall, I think if you're the Golden Knights, you would rather see him in Colorado or Boston or some of the other places that he's been rumored to go.
Yeah, I was going to mention that some of the other ones. I heard Florida for a little bit, but supposedly they're out of it now. Maybe the Islanders, another Eastern Conference team, which I don't think you worry about. But yeah, does it mean anything to the Golden Knights if he goes to one of these other Western Conference teams? I mean, I've seen, there's been so many teams mentioned, it just makes me look at the standing. I'm like, oh, did I hear this about Taylor Hall? I know St. Louis has been linked, Edmonton even, obviously the same things would apply to the Golden Knights in the Pacific. They could use that boost. I think this fall for them is going to continue, but I don't know, St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, I guess are all possibilities. Which to me is, you know, something you don't want to see as a Golden Knights fan, but it's more down the road you're worried about. It's not that immediate boost he would give a team like Arizona.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that there are so many, you look at the first two rounds of the playoffs, you're probably playing a Pacific Division team, unless you happen to fall into a wild card, which right now I think Vegas is one of the three best teams in the Pacific. That happens, you're facing, you know, a Pacific Division team in all likelihood. You don't want to face Taylor Hall's team in the playoffs, obviously, but if it's St. Louis or Colorado or Dallas, they could eliminate each other before Vegas ever has to play them. Arizona, I think, is more of a direct threat. So is Edmonton. And if it goes to Boston or Florida or an Eastern Conference team in the playoffs, well, you don't have to worry about them until a potential Stanley Cup final. So I think that you'd rather him stay out of the Western Conference, but I think if you'd had your druthers, you'd rather him definitely stay out of the Pacific. I think Arizona is the most direct threat to the Golden Knights' chances at a Pacific Division title this year, and Taylor Hall would increase that threat by quite a bit.
Right. Former Hart Trophy winner.
Just, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, potentially on the move, so that is a big time. Any other final thoughts about trades? I know there was like a frenzy a couple weeks ago about like, oh, the Golden Knights need to make a trade. They're going to make a trade. They made the Chandler Stephenson trade, of course, and seems like that's been a kind of under the radar strong addition. Yeah. He's played well.
Especially with, I mean, Cody Eakin was hurt right before. Cody Glass was hurt right after. He's playing second line center right now. So that was turned into what I thought was a decent depth move. They needed some NHL level depth at the bottom six, but that's turned into a very savvy pickup for them. He's played very well.
We're in agreement again there. So anything else? Do you think the Golden Knights get involved at all here? I mean, is there any route to them being involved?
I do, but I don't think until probably closer to the end of February with the trade deadline. I think that they're scouring the market for a defenseman. I wrote in when I was in New Jersey, I think Sammy Vatanen would fit in perfectly with this team. He's a right-handed shot that could help out on the power play penalty kill. But I don't expect a Mark Stone level player to come to Vegas this year. But the Golden Knights have been very active in both of their trade deadlines so far. They got Tomáš Tatar, didn't work out. They got Mark Stone, did work out. So I would expect him to make some sort of move, whether it's a big splash, I doubt, but and I definitely don't think that if, let's say, Arizona gets Taylor Hall, that the Golden Knights would try to make a move to match them or something like that. I think that they've got their plan. I think they're pretty locked into what they want to do. And though I do think that they will try to get a defenseman before the February trade deadline.
Makes sense to me. And of course, that was what everyone, I think that was what all the uproar was about. It's 2 weeks ago, seems like forever ago, but I feel like everyone was talking about trading for a defenseman. And that's still up in the air, still something to watch. We will continue to monitor that all year. I love trades. It feels like everyone else does now too.
Oh, but they're fun. I wish hockey's trading was a little bit more like baseball's trade deadline. Every year seems to be so much fun. And hockey, every now and then, we'll get a really good trade deadline. Like last year's was good. Mark Stone was on the move. Wayne Simmons was on the move. A couple other guys. Jacob Trouba, but no, he was in the offseason. Doesn't matter. But yeah, I love trades. I like seeing them. It's fun to see a contender go out and try to get that missing piece. And a team like Arizona getting Taylor Hall, I think, makes too much sense to not happen. So we'll, I guess, see if it does.
So we will sit and wait for that. And in the meantime, we have a couple games to enjoy. With the holidays, we're going to try to record again on Friday. So we'll have a new podcast up about all the games coming up during the Christmas week. And the Golden Knights will be busy during that week, a bunch of games. But in the meantime, there are Tuesday, Thursday this week. They have the Wild at T-Mobile Arena on Tuesday and then go to Vancouver on Thursday. Two teams that are currently just out of the playoffs. Vancouver, we just got an up-close look on Sunday. Minnesota, actually probably one of the hotter teams in the West. Seems like they've gotten it together lately.
And Vegas has always had a problem with Minnesota.
That's a good point.
They're 1-5 all time with that win coming in a shootout last year. So for whatever reason, the Wild have been thorn in the side of the Golden Knights. They have the worst, I believe, record, yep, against the Wild than any other team in the league.
Ooh, so they're the anti Blackhawks. We always like to make fun of the Blackhawks for their struggles against the Golden Knights. I was just thinking, yeah, I don't even remember when they beat the Wild. They beat them once last year. They probably beat them the
shootout
first year.
Yeah, it was like the second or the third game of the year, and they won in a shootout. Ohala in made Minnesota. The... Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yep, I do remember that, actually. Yeah, always a fun time with the Wild. Could be a good game, too, with the Wild. You know, having they really struggled early in the year, but seems like they've turned it around lately. Anything else other than the Golden Knights' historic struggles, anything else stand out to you about Minnesota coming to town?
Nothing I don't think that you've mentioned. Excuse me, haven't mentioned. They were very bad at the start of the year, and they've been hot lately. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. A lot of that's been because they played a lot of road games. They played 21 road games this year already to just 13 home games. So maybe that has something to do with a bit of their struggles. They're 7-12-2 on the road. But they are coming to T-Mobile Arena on Tuesday, where they have never lost in three appearances. So that'll be a tough one for the Golden Knights. And then Vegas heads up to Vancouver on Thursday, where they just put the smackdown on the Canucks. And that's another team. The opposite of the Wild. In six games, the Golden Knights are 1-5-0 against the Minnesota Wild. That's the worst points percentage against any other team. Against the Canucks, they're 8-0-1 all the time. 944 points percentage. That's the best against any team. So they are facing the team that they are the worst against all time and best against all time in the next 2 days.
I can't believe that. I remember the loss very well. I can't believe that was their only loss to the Canucks. I mean, so many times they've played them. So yeah, 8-0-1 against the Canucks. Yeah,
they have gotten a point again in every game that they've ever played against the Canucks. It's the only team that they have yet to lose in regulation to is the Vancouver Canucks.
Wow. Yeah. So there you have it. The Canucks have been the Golden Knights' whipping boy. What say you? Does that continue on Thursday? And another win, two wins in 4 days for the Golden Knights?
I mean, six games against the Wild and nine games against the Canucks isn't a terrible sample, but it's also not still a great one to draw too many conclusions off of. But I'm going to go ahead and draw those conclusions off of them, I think. I'm going to go with... I think they split the weekend. I think that they're going to lose a close one. Bet the under. That's my betting advice for the week. Against the Wild, and then go up and win in Vancouver.
I think way too much harmony today, but I think I'm going to have to agree.
We did the same thing last week. We said that they'd go 3-1, but they went 3-1. True. So if we're going to agree on it, we better be right, huh?
Yeah, I liked this Minnesota team. I think I picked them to make the playoffs on our preseason podcast, and I felt like an idiot for a while. but I think a lot of it was Dubnyk was just like horrendous, was really struggling, and I believe he's been hurt.
Yeah, they had Kaapo Kähkönen come in.
Yeah, the
still
rookie, right?
Is Kaapo Kähkönen? I still think is Kaapo Kakko trying to pull a fast one on all of us. Yeah, but,
playing for two teams.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It'd be interesting to see if he. I don't know what their schedule looks like. We'll maybe see him on Tuesday at T-Mobile Arena. Probably not though. Their other goalie Stalock maybe going to be in, but it just seems like they've been getting better goaltending, strong defensively as always. Always fun to see Vegas native Jason Zucker, who mm-hmm. I think's having a nice year. So I'm going to go with Minnesota winning a close game as well, and I will probably be on the under.
So on the as far as the Golden Knights have averaged 2 goals in those 6 games against the Wild. That is the second worst against any team goals for per game. They are only 1.8 against the Flyers. So they score 2 goals per game against the Wild. Against the Canucks, they score 4.56 goals per game, which is the most of any team.
Yeah,
it's just funny that like they are so good against the Canucks, so bad against the Wild, and they play Canucks, Wild, Canucks in a 3-game stretch.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, the Canucks not near as stingy as the Wild. You can kind of see the way the Wild play, giving the Golden Knights troubles. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of reaching out on a limb to say they're going to lose, but I'm going to have to go with it. I was going to go with it anyway. You were. So we're both going with losses on Tuesday and a win on Thursday. That will be the week ahead. And as I said, we'll be back on Friday to talk about the next set of games. But in the meantime, we have to continue, unfortunately.
Let's keep talking about it. I love doing this segment.
Our Shining Knight competition, where it's not been pretty for me. That being said, I should probably be like I think I should be like +7 for the year. I'm such a huge underdog to you, so maybe I'm covering.
Set up
for the
set up a spread.
Give us the rundown though. What's the score?
Well, I had Chandler Stevenson last week. He had 3 points, including a goal. Nate Schmidt had 2 assists. Not bad, but not a great week defensively for Nate Schmidt. So another victory for your boy over here, putting me 6-2 for the season. Though it is your choice this week. We remember that we're going to reset after Christmas, so we have 2 more weeks of Golden Knight, of Shining Knight. You still have not used your Mark Stone card. You haven't played the Alex Tuck one. You haven't used Paul Stastny, and you gotta start using these guys because there's no point in holding Stone because it resets after the holiday.
I don't even need your fancy list that I love this week. I knew exactly who I was going to take. As soon as we came in, actually, assuming you didn't take him, I wasn't sure I had the first one.
You do have the first pick.
A revenge game 3 years later. I think if the Golden Knights beat the Wild, it's going to be because of one Alex Tuck.
Well, remember that when they won last year, Tuck was hurt, so Alex Tuck has still not beaten the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, wow. There you have it. I think maybe I'm going to even switch my pick here and say they're going to beat the Wild now with that knowledge.
Now you know, Tuck hat trick confirmed for tomorrow.
Exactly.
Night, huh?
Yeah, I wanted Tuck even before I realized that the Wild.
You're just holding on to Stastny for the 4-game stretch next week, so you get or Stone, I mean, so you get Stone for 4 games instead of just the 2.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. Maybe I'm gonna go with Stastny, but I like Alex Tuck this week. He's been pretty steady. Nothing jumped off the page, at least that I can remember from last week. But he was great a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's been one of their hotter players for sure.
So I feel pretty good about this one. And it's not like you have a ton of stars left either. So this could be maybe a fair matchup where I can cut into your lead a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't used I haven't played Riley Smith yet. So I'm going to go with Riley Smith this week. So I think that this is a good matchup, Alex Tuck versus Riley Smith. Small sample, so a lot more possibility for variance, just 2 games this week, so we'll see how it goes.
I had to take Riley Smith in like the 1 week where he didn't do anything. He has
13
goals and 13 assists, and I think I took him when there were 3 or 4 games, and I was like, he did absolutely nothing that week, and I was like, oh, so happy I bought high on Riley Smith, and now he's not gonna do anything for, you know, probably weeks. Then the next week he scored like 3 or 4 goals again. So Riley Smith and I just do not really get along. Apparently.
I'll tell him you said that.
good luck with that. I know his responses. I think he would just stare at you blankly. And
real possibility of that one.
There's some
sure.
guys you could explain this to, and they might get a kick out of it from my experiences in the Golden Knights locker room. I do not think Riley Smith is one of them.
I think you might be right about that.
And nothing wrong with that. I'm not hating on the guy. I'm just saying he didn't produce for me, and I don't think he cares at all. I don't think he would be amused or anything about it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
All right, so Tuck versus Smith this week.
Man, do you need a win?
Yeah, I really do.
Man, you're going to be, like you said, like +5 going into the second half.
And I just challenged Riley Smith by talking bad about him. So we'll see if he comes through for you, or if I can get Alex Tuck to help the Golden Knights to a rare win over the Minnesota Wild. They follow that at Vancouver. We'll be back on Friday to talk about those 2 games, see what comes out of them, as well as the next set of games. Happy holidays from Vegas Golden Podcast. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.